Very good. And man, thanks again for all the music. And man, appreciate, I got to be over with their young couples. Man, just excited about what God's doing there in their lives. And anyway, appreciate Mr. Hayes filling in and taking care of Sunday school for me this morning. I mean, I don't know how, so Mr. Hayes, is this, I've got this up. Is this yours or? All right. Did you get a little hoarse during Sunday school? Or not? Sorry, I couldn't resist it, but I just found this up here. You never know what what's going to happen when you come up here. So anyway, but thank you for taking care of that for me. All right, Brother Jason, come read scripture for us.
You're going to make me come up here after that bad joke?
It's bad. Acts chapter 5 this morning. Man, I'm so glad to be in a place. You know, I was thinking about it. The Baptist church and a lot of churches, man, we've gotten away from Christ. That's what we've gotten away from. And this morning, I love to tell the story, and I think about the story in my own life and others around. Y'all would think the same thing. And you think about Beulah Land, and man, we've gotten away from Jesus. We have gotten away from Jesus, and so good to be in a church where Jesus is focused on. And and again, we hopefully. Christ is pleased when we talk about him, and just an old-fashioned traditional church, and so appreciate that. Wanted to say this: Austin came this week and brought his very young grandmother, and as I said, is that Austin's mom? He's like, no, it's my grandma. There's no way. But man, I so appreciate them coming, and he rode our bus for a while, and then I got to meet him and talk to him a couple weeks ago, and man, so glad you came this morning, and your grandmother as well. So glad y'all are here. Acts chapter 5, read verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Let's pray. God, we thank you for this place. Lord God, we thank you for a place we can come worship Christ. And Lord, the people here, Lord, that we're surrounded with, Lord, I believe they desire to worship Christ and desire to live lives, Lord, the best we can. Not perfect, Lord God, plenty of mistakes, but Lord God, with a focus on you and trying to do what's right. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all the people here today. God, I do pray if there's anyone that's not saved, Lord God, they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ today. And Lord, they won't get the full understanding, Lord, maybe of the cross. But Lord, as they live the Christian life, that how much more real the cross becomes to us, and how much more real, Lord, you're dying, Lord. And Lord, I think, Lord, we live in a world, Lord God, where probably the reason we've gotten away from Jesus is because we've tried to make him like ourselves. And Lord God, we don't fully understand how powerful God is, how mighty Jesus Christ is. And Lord, we excuse things, Lord, in our own lives. Lord God, and we fashion a God after ourselves. That's not it. Lord God, we serve an almighty, powerful God. And a Jesus Christ who came and gave his life for us, and we didn't deserve it. Lord God, we've done so many wrong things, and Lord, you came, lived a perfect life, and died for us on the cross, Lord God, and the power that is there. And Lord God, as the scripture we just read said, it's so important to obey God rather than man. We answer God at the end of the day. We don't answer man. We answer to Almighty God. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, today we get, Lord, in the message hour, Lord, we would understand your, Lord, how magnificent you are. And, Lord God, if we recognize how magnificent you are, we recognize how much we need you, how much we need your power in our lives. And, God, again, if there's somebody that's not saved, Lord, I pray they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and accept you today. Give us a great message hour. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And again, appreciate the music this morning, the choir. And then the ladies with the special. And then Mrs. Hayes and Mrs. Metz with offshore. So thank you so much for that this morning. What a blessing. And we read there in Acts chapter 5, the last couple of weeks we've talked about some things here at the end of the Gospels and then, of course, into the book of Acts. Last one we talked about this, all the things that took place when Jesus left, right? When Jesus left this earth and went up to heaven, and these apostles that were able to join together and have their first prayer meeting without Jesus there. He wasn't physically there. We know in spirit he was, but
not physically. It had to be different for them. And they had their first prayer meeting. And then, of course, they had together had that first preaching service at Pentecost. And every other time they had gotten together, Jesus spoke, right? But now Jesus wasn't there to speak. And so Peter got up and spoke. And I think the Bible indicates the other apostles there with him as he spoke. And, of course, they had that first prayer meeting, that first service, that first preaching service. That just had to be different, right, without Jesus there. They weren't sitting listening to him anymore. They now had to take that and take the truth out to others. And then, boy, as that first service ended, and they saw the results of that service, and the Bible tells us 3,000 at least that came and got saved. And every other time someone had gotten saved in the Gospels, Jesus had been there, right, to lead them to the Lord, to tell them the truth, to witness to them. And the disciples really hadn't had to take on much of that. And yet now they had the opportunity as thousands came. And they got to see those people saved. And what a great time that was in the book of Acts. And you think about it, for our church, our responsibility is to pray together, is to preach the gospel, is to see God work. And as we open the Word of God and do that, then God's going to bring results. And that's what God does. And so we know that's true. And that's the same thing they did back then, same thing we do now. And so all that went on here in the first couple chapters of the book of Acts. But then what happens? Anytime you're trying to do something for God, same thing is true of this early church, now comes problems and persecutions, right? Jesus, before he left, he warned his disciples, hey, the world's not going to be on your side all the time. And so as we're here in the book of Acts, and for the very first time, without Jesus present. In fact, think about these disciples and the persecution they've gone through so far up until this time. That persecution, for the most part, took place at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And what happened to the disciples? They took off, right? They didn't really handle the persecution that well. It's like we talked about their prayer life last week. Their prayer life before Jesus went to heaven consisted of falling asleep, pretty much. There wasn't a whole lot there. And so their persecution they'd had to deal with had really scattered them away from Jesus. And they hadn't been there for him at the crucifixion. So now, for the first time, problems come. You know, if Gilgore Baptist Church, if we go out and try to be a witness to others and try to give the gospel, you would think in our society today, if we're trying to help people, right, give them the truth, something. Listen, for anybody that's here this morning and for anybody you go and talk to outside of this place, Jesus Christ will improve your life, right? Obviously, eternal life through Jesus Christ is the greatest thing we get, but also improve your life here. A life that's lived for Christ is going to be a good life and a better life for you. And so you think people will be excited about that. But I'm telling you, if we go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, not everybody's going to be excited. All right? Not everybody's going to respond in the way we think they should. Very interesting this morning as you see this, just very quickly we'll go through a few of these things here in the book of Acts. Understand this, first of all. There are some that are going to disagree with the truth of God's Word. Now, we try to follow God's Word, the truth that's here. And as you read truth and see truth, boy, I don't know if it's happened for you, but different truths, especially from God's Word, and maybe a truth that somebody explains to you. And when you're in, those of you that are in school, right, you get this truth, and they explain this truth to you. You remember when you first mastered multiplying fractions. Some of you don't. All right. Some of you never have. All right. But that truth, all right, or something in math or some formula, and you finally master, oh, okay, now I know how to do it. And you can do that now, and you understand that truth, and you see that truth, and in life somebody explains something to you. Well, you would think, hey, the truth of the Word of God, somebody explains that, and you can maybe remember some truths from God's Word, obviously salvation, but then beyond that, hey, this is how you're supposed to live, what you're supposed to do, and you understand that. But this morning, as we go through the Scripture, realize this, that there's some that are going to disagree with the truth of God's Word. And Peter and the other apostles have been preaching, and we'll go to a couple passages. Go back to Acts chapter 4. Go to Acts chapter 4 and look at verse number 1. We're going to go to a couple different passages here, and we see what happens to these apostles, to Peter and John here in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. they're preaching the truth, verse number 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. So these people that heard the truth, these leaders, the Bible says they laid hands on them. That means they physically took them, really arrested them is what it would be. And even though they may not have had a charge, they at least held them. Let's say maybe in our modern vernacular, they detained them for a little bit, all right? Maybe not a full arrest, but at least detained them. And so they laid their hands on them. What was their problem with what they did? Well, the Bible says there in verse number 2, they were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They didn't like what they were saying. Now, it never says in this passage that it wasn't true what they were saying. They just didn't like it. And so because they didn't like it, they laid hands on them. They took them and took them in and were upset about what they were teaching the people. In fact, it's interesting here, look at verse number 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? They wanted to know, by what power? Boy, you know what that means? That means they could see the power there. They could see what God was doing. Of course, it's after this lame man had been healed, and they saw the power of God there. But they said, what power, what name? We sang this morning about the name of Jesus. Hey, what a wonderful, wonderful name. They said, what name is it that they're using there? They were upset about what Peter and John were doing. They laid hands on them. They took them. They were grieved because of what they taught. Go to Acts chapter 5. Look at verse number 17. Now, this is a little bit later. Some more things have gone on, and they were let go and continued teaching and preaching. In the beginning of chapter 5, you have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. We get a little further here in chapter 5 and look at verse number 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation. Once again, verse 18, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Once again, they've heard the teaching and preaching. They laid hands on them. They physically take these apostles and put them in the common prison. They throw them in jail because they don't agree with it. Again, there's no disputing of the truth of it. In fact, their problem in verse number 17 says what? They were filled with indignation. Man, they were upset about. Now, understand something. When we teach and preach the truth of Jesus Christ, not everybody is going to like it. There are going to be some that disagree, and these disagreed. In fact, to the point where physically they took them in. Now, in our country, in our society, where we are right now, that has not been the case. But as you see what's going on around us, how far are we from that? This is what Peter and John and the other apostles had to endure. Physically, they were taken to prison for a short time because of what because of what they were preaching. And so not everybody agreed with them and with the truth of God's word. In fact, this reference, it gives to us the same terminology here. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse number 33. We'll talk about the answer of Peter here in a little bit. But I want you to see what the response was of these people as they brought them. They brought Peter and John and these apostles before them. Verse 33 of Acts 5. When they heard that, when they heard what Peter said, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Man, when they heard what Peter said to them, the Bible says, and it cut them to the heart. And they wanted to figure out a way to kill Peter and John and these apostles. Take your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we have the message of Jesus of Stephen. And Stephen preaches truth of the Word of God. Go all the way to verse number 54. Acts chapter 7, verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, when they heard what Stephen said. This is a different group of people. Now, some may have been the same, but it's a different overall group of people. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. We have both passages here in Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 7. They were cut to the heart when they heard what he said. Hey, if we try to take a stand for Christ, there's going to be some that disagree with us, all right? There's going to be some, as the Bible says here, that tried to persecute, that laid hands on Peter and John the apostles, would lay hands on Stephen. They were cut to the heart, and that conviction that came didn't drive them to Jesus. You wonder this, I mean, as I look around in the world around us today, how long is it going to be before a regular message from the pulpit in a church like ours is considered hate speech, right? I mean, the whole message. And we talked about, well, if it's against homosexuality, I'm talking about any message. I'm talking about just a message of salvation. Boy, well, that message of salvation is not very inclusive, right? Now, only the people that trust Jesus get to go to heaven. And how long before we get there? And the prejudice that comes with that kind of message, boy, only what? Only the people that accept Christ can get to heaven? That's prejudice against those that want to live the way they want. And when those messages from the Word of God, how long before that becomes something that those that disagree with say, hey, we're going to take care of that. Hey, I'm telling you this morning, we're not that far from that. We're not that far. And those that would come in and try to shut down the church for whatever reason they come up with today, tomorrow, that same group is going to be the one, hey, we don't like what you're saying. We don't like what we're hearing. There was no disputing from these people of the truth. They didn't say it was untrue. They said, we don't like it. They were filled with indignation. They were upset. It cut them to the heart. And they said, we're going to do something about it. And so not everyone is going to agree with the truth. And then here's what we have to understand. I think we've seen this in our society today, how quickly people can change. And when I talk about people, I'm talking about popular sentiment, all right? Popular opinion. We live in a country that has freedom of religion. I think if I was to go around to, I think most people in our country, now I could be wrong, but I think if they took a poll, however much you can believe polls, and they say how many of you believe in freedom of religion, I think the vast majority of those in America believe in freedom of religion. Now, they may have a little different definition, but I think overall, there's not a desire of 90% of the people in America to shut churches down. I don't think, to be honest with you, I think that's why we have seen, even in some of these states who have tried to limit churches, we've seen such a backlash on that they've had a little trouble doing that, because there is. Most people you talk to, that popular opinion would be, hey, it's important to have churches open. Not everybody would agree with that, but I think a lot of people would. But that popular sentiment can change very, very quickly. Very interesting here. Look at Acts chapter 4. And as Peter and John are going through this, look at verse number 21. They bring them in, and we talked about the beginning of the book beginning of chapter 4. They bring them in, and they hold Peter and John. And they really want to do something, but don't know exactly what they can do. Look at verse 21. Very interesting to me. So when they had further threatened them, so they threatened Peter and John. In fact, earlier they said, in verse number 14, they could say nothing against what they had done. And so they really couldn't come up with something, but they were trying to figure out some way they could persecute or hold on to Peter and John, but they couldn't. Verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Look at this. Because of the people, for all men glorify God for that which was done. You know, one of the reasons they didn't do more than Peter and John, obviously God intervened, but it was because of the sentiment of the people. Hey, the people that are around there, the Bible says in the next verse, this man was over 40 years old, that this lame man had been healed. Everybody knew this guy was lame. Everybody saw the miraculous work that God had done, and they couldn't really say much about it because he was standing there healed. And because the people would have rebelled if they had done something to Peter and John, they had to let them go. Now, that's great when God works that out. And these people here, that influence that they had. Once you look at another passage, look at Acts chapter 5. Look at Acts chapter 5, that we read that. And again, they bring in these apostles. They lay hands on them. We mentioned in verse number 17. But I want you to look down at verse number 26. In between verses 17 and 26, we know what happens. They're put in jail. And they're told, hey, you stay here, and they're going to decide the next morning. So through the night into the next morning, all right, they meet the next morning to decide, what are we going to do with these men? Well, as they're meeting, before they even met that morning, through the night, an angel comes, opens up the doors of prison, tells Peter and John and the rest of the apostles, go out into the temple and preach some more. So they're meeting, figuring out, what are we going to do with these guys we have locked up? And somebody runs in and says, hey, those guys you had locked up, they're out preaching again, all right? they're talking about Jesus. So they're out there doing it. So all that's happened here in these verses between verses 17 and verse 26. So they have to go get him again. They have to go get him again. Look, it's amazing to me. Look at verse 26. Then went the captain with the officers. Man, they go to arrest them, to bring them again, and brought them without violence. They didn't. And if they had known Peter and John better and the rest of the apostles, they would have known. They would have come, just as Jesus did when they came to arrest him. They would have come without violence. But they wanted to be real, real careful how they brought these guys in. Look at the next part of the verse. For they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. They were scared the people would riot and stone them for arresting these apostles. I mean, the people were behind the apostles. Man, they and we've lived in a country for a long time where the majority of the people were behind the work of God. I mean, you talk about when our country was founded, and then after that, in the last couple hundred years, and some of you growing up in the 50s and 60s, and you remember, hey, the vast majority of the people believed that homosexuality was wrong. They believed that. Hey, the vast majority of the people believed that abortion was wrong, was sin, was murder. They believed that. And those things that the church would teach and preach, hey, where the vast majority of the people back, let's say you grew up in the 50s, or that the vast majority of the parents taught their children to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and be respectful to their parents. And the disciples there. So a lot of these things that now we've seen those things change in this country, but if you look at these people, the Bible says they were scared of the people. That's why they didn't bring them in with violence, and ultimately they let them go. But I want you to just go one chapter ahead. Look at Acts chapter 6. Verse number 9. Let's go to verse 10. Of Acts chapter 6, they were not able to resist the wisdom of spirit by which he spake, talking about Stephen. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Look at verse 12. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And then we know what happens. Go to Acts chapter 7. Look at the end of Acts chapter 7, verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Interesting phrasing there, with one accord. We see that throughout talking about the apostles, how they were together, right, with one accord. Well, the Bible says here, this group with one accord ran upon Stephen. You know who these people were? The same people that were going to stone those that took Peter and John are now ready to stone Stephen. You know how quickly they changed? Same people. Hey, same group of people. They got stirred up by these leaders. The reason that Peter and John were let go and the reason that Stephen was killed was not because God obviously had a plan for that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But you know what? Those people changed that quickly. And those same people, and again, I'm not talking about just individuals. I'm talking about as a group. We've seen it in our country. That same people that, hey, we're behind you. Let me tell you, 5 years from now, hey, we need to shut that church down. Hey, we don't like what they're saying. Hey, and somebody stirs them up as these leaders stirred up the people. What I'm telling you this morning is don't base what you believe on what the popular sentiment is around you. Base it on the Word of God, because people are going to change. And what the majority believes is going to change. And it changed really quickly here and affected Stephen, of course, and what he... Hey, you look at the message that Stephen preached and you look at what Peter preached, there's not a lot of difference in the... No difference in the message. One, 3,000 people got saved. The other, the group of people came and stoned him and killed Stephen because of what he preached. Hey, there's going to be some that disagree. Understand how quickly people change. There's followers out there of so many things beyond the Bible. Say, what group are you a part of? Or what, you know what group I want to be a part of? The group that follows the Word of God. That's who I want to be a part of. Not the group, boy, this group that does this, and they like, boy, and this. No, what we didn't do is follow what God's Word says. And not worry about what other group is out there, who's doing this. Just teach and preach the truth of the Word of God. Hey, some are not going to agree with the truth. There's people that are going to change quickly. And here's what should be true for us. We see from these men, God's message is always the same. You know, the messengers of God, and I'm not talking about just preachers. I'm talking about as you go out and you witness to others and you give the truth of God's Word. Those messengers are not always protected physically like we would think. We have stories throughout the Bible, as I mentioned before. And, man, I like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what I want to be, right? Man, you go in the fire. You're in that fire, and you get through that fire. I don't like the story of John the Baptist where you get your head cut off, right? John the Baptist took a stand. He got his head cut off. Hey, I like Peter here, man. You go to Acts chapter 12, what happens? Peter gets thrown in jail, and angel gets the automatic door open, and Peter's out. But just a couple of verses before, the Bible says James was killed with a sword. I like the Peter story better than the James story. Hey, the what we think of as protection, now, there's no guarantee of that as we go out and give God's Word to others. We have missionaries that go out on the field, and God protects them. That's great. But, hey, there's some that go through some things. There's some that have had shorter lives. There's some that have given themselves for the cause of Christ. But no matter what happens with the messengers, as we go out, the messengers must preach God's message. I want you to notice how the message stays the same. Go back to Acts chapter 4. We talked about in verse number 7 the question that they asked Peter, hey, what power, what name have you done this? Look at verse number 10. Here's the message. Be it known unto you all, Peter said, and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set in all to you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what? The message was the same. Here was Peter's message. You killed Jesus. That was the message. Every time he talks, hey, you killed him. And look, he tells me, he said, you want to know what power, what name we did this? It says, whom ye crucified in verse 10. And then the second part of his message is always the same. That one that you crucified, God raised him from the dead. He's resurrected. Hey, the same story. We need to go tell people, hey, you're a sinner. You know what sins crucified Jesus? Your sins and my sins. You're a sinner. But you know what God did? He raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, that truth. Every time Peter talks, he mentions that. So he looks at these men, says, you crucified him. God raised him from the dead. And then salvation is through Jesus Christ. Verse 12, there's salvation not in any other. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Same message. Hey, we'll go up a little further. Look at Acts chapter 5. He gets another opportunity. In Acts chapter 5, again, as they bring them in. And he gets this. Look at verse number. Oh, let's see. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Go to verse number. Let's go to verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus whom you slew and hanged on a tree. What's the first point of this message? Hey, you killed Jesus. You crucified Jesus. First part of his message. Verse number 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand. Hey, what happened to Jesus? God resurrected him and has exalted him. And what else does it say? What's the third point of his message? Same point. To be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. What does it come through? It comes through Jesus Christ. Hey, you're a sinner. Jesus Christ died for those sins, to pay for those sins, so you can go to heaven with Him. He was resurrected. Same points, right? Peter just stays on point, stays on point. Same message. Same message. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Another group. Stephen's the messenger this time. Message stays the same. Look at verse number 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now, what? The betrayers and murderers. And it's hard to believe that somebody had less tact than Peter, but it's probably Stephen, all right? Stephen said, you betrayed and murdered Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? This morning, anybody that comes in this doors, including me, you know what we did? We murdered Jesus Christ with our sins. That's what we did. Now, we don't like to think about that. Oh, me? No, my sin put him on the cross. If you were the only person on earth, your sin would have put Jesus on the cross. He had to die for your sin. And so Stephen looks at them and says, you betrayed, you murdered Christ. Of course, they don't like that, but look at verse number 55. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Who saw it? Jesus resurrected there at the right hand of God, right? Hey, he doesn't get... Unfortunately, Stephen can't finish his message like Peter got to, right? He gets sort of interrupted here. But he's getting good into the message and says, you're the ones that betrayed and murdered Jesus Christ. Hey, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There he is, resurrected. And then Stephen knows where he's going when he dies. Notice what he says in verse number 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying. Now look at what he says. Because we just read through that. But these Jews that are listening to him, they knew Jesus, right? If you said the name Jesus, they said, yeah, we know him. We remember. He was crucified just a short time ago. Hey, he was here on earth. Many of them, if not all of them, had physically seen him. And so when Stephen looks up to heaven, he doesn't say, hey, I'm going to heaven. Hey, God, bring me in. No, what does he say? Lord what? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You know why? Because salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And the reason his spirit was going to heaven was because Jesus Christ had saved him. And this morning, if you're on your way to heaven, it's because Jesus Christ has saved you. Hey, the message stays the same. Jesus was crucified for us. He was resurrected from the grave. Salvation comes through him. Our responsibility is to give the truth no matter the results. Hey, it's wonderful we preach and thousands get saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 4 says 5,000 believed. Acts chapter 5, verse 14 says there were believers added to the Lord. Multitudes in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, they're added to the Lord. Acts chapter 7, verse 60, Stephen fell asleep. We don't have any results. But you know, the results are not what's important. It's giving the truth of God's word. Last two verses, Acts chapter 4, verse number 19. So what are we supposed to preach? Well, Peter asked them. In Acts chapter 4, verse 19, Peter and John answered, said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Peter says, you judge, you tell us. Is it right to hearken to you or hearken to God? Verse 20, for we cannot but speak things we've seen and heard. You know what we're supposed to do? To speak what we've seen and heard. And then the last verse is the first one we read. Brother Jason read for us. Peter looked at them and said what? He didn't even this time say, hey, you judge what? He says, no, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's wonderful when men and God line up and they all like it. That's wonderful. But understand something this morning. There's many times when we give the truth of God's word and not everybody's going to like it, but the message has to stay the same because it's the truth. The message of salvation through Jesus Christ and what he can do for us. This morning, the message for you 2,000 years later is the same as it was back then. Jesus Christ died for you. Our sins put him on the cross. God resurrected him from the dead. There is salvation in no other but Jesus Christ this morning. Are you saved? You're on your way to heaven. Hey, and if you're saved and on your way to heaven, are you following the truth of God's word? Now, what's always popular? It's great if it is popular. I like it when the word of God is popular, all right? That's great. When you get to go out and you get into the crowd and everybody agrees with you, that's wonderful. But it doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. And these disciples learn that sometimes there is persecution. Are we going to stay true to God's word? Father, I pray that you'd help each of us this morning. Thank you for the truth you give us. And Lord, we know that not everyone every time is going to agree with what the Bible says, but it doesn't relieve us from the responsibility of giving out the truth. And I pray, Lord, we'd be a church that shares the truth, shares the truth in love with the right spirit and the right heart, but also doesn't shy away from giving the gospel and giving the truth. Lord, we're excited when those that are around us agree with that. That's great. When the world that we live in accepts the truth, and that's wonderful, but even when they don't, help us to stay strong on your word. Lord, I pray there's someone here that's not saved. Help them trust you, Lord, before they leave this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if everybody would just stand this morning. I want to ask you this very quickly, same message and same conviction, hopefully, that was there in the book of Acts this morning, if you're not saved. But if you're saved this morning, you say, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to heaven through Jesus Christ, not because of anything I've done, but because of Jesus Christ. He died for my sins, shed his blood for me. If you could say this morning, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. You just put your hand up like I'm doing and say, I know I'm saved this morning. You put your hand right back down. If you're here this morning, you say this. You say, I'm not sure about my salvation. Let me tell you, the Bible says there's no salvation in any other. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do enough good deeds to get to heaven. You can't be nice enough to get to heaven. The only way you get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. We say this morning, I'm not sure about my salvation. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I promise you that. But I want you to be honest before God. I want to pray for you. And you say, just pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved this morning. Or somebody like that, just slip your hand up and say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Just not sure. Pray for me. I'm not going to call on you or come to you or anything. You say, just pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. Hey, if you're saved this morning, God's word gives us the truth. Are we willing to stand for that truth? It's not always going to be popular. We have to decide. I'm going to stand for what God's word says. The music plays this morning. As the Lord spoke to you, you come forward.
Man, thanks so much for being here this morning. Be back in tonight, 6 o'clock, and enjoy, man, enjoy this week. Enjoy the weather. I'm making a prediction, all right? Enjoy today, because by Thursday, we're going to hear this out of your mouth. It's so hot out here, all right? So enjoy today, all right? Enjoy today before it gets too hot out there. So have a great day. Be back tonight. If not, we'll see you next Sunday. Father, again, we thank you for all you do for us. Bless us this week. Lord, help us to take the truth out to those around us and share it with them. And Lord, give the gospel and live in such a way that we be pleasing you in all we do, Lord. Thank you for the truth you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.